saying that he thinks we ought to let Cooper go. Cooper's not very good. He's a disappointment. He's on his Vietnam desk. Suggests that we bring the old man McNaughton in. Says you'll upset. Hand me those three memos I had over here. That you'll get upset about it. Cooper's been doting. He's an energetic staff officer. He's not fulfilled the promise of quiet that I thought he had when he came aboard. Although it may be as much my fault as his. He's been planning some time to take a year out at Brookings. He has now written to me submitting his resignation. Cooper's remaining through the month of March. I enclose a possible acknowledgement to Cooper. So that's for Cooper. I guess McNaughton's not in connection with that. The Kittner job, he says that he suggests Bob Comer. For any reason, you're not going to put him somewhere else. John McNaughton, Bob, will resist the suggestion because he thinks he needs McNaughton more than you do. I'm sure he's wrong, more just as he was about Califano. Moreover, McNaughton is going restless on his present assignment, like something with more status. McNamara plans to meet this problem by giving him the job as secretary of one of the service. This is a very wasteful thing to do with a very talented man, as you know, and as John Connolly found out. If you were to make McNaughton your special assistant in Vietnam, the dirt would fly, and I would not be distressed with the fact some feeling might be hurt. Paul Nitze is temporarily a difficult man, but he has respect to three people who are important, McNamara, Rusk, and my brother. I do not know whether he and Lodge would get on. This point is some importance. There are names left over the scouting I did, McCloy and Weinberg. Business there, Roger Lewis of General Dynamics, Elijah Gray. I don't think you get either one. And finally, Clark Clifford. I know he's not going to take anything short of the big job. Lloyd Cutler don't want. So it narrows down that he's suggesting Comer and McNaughton. I think we need Comer here if we can possibly stay, whoever we bring in here, because of the continuity for a while.
I agree.
I wondered, I don't know that this was it, but I'm trying to think of somebody that can run your shop without bothering you with every pound of rice, that could run Dave Bell's shop without bothering him, and Rusk wouldn't be suspicious of, and Ball. What would you think of, well, I'm worried about the Comer thing. The Kittner thing. The more I think about it, the more nervous I am about Kittner. Three quite different people, McCloy and Helms and the vice president, have raised their eyebrows about his drinking in a quite spontaneous way, and that seems like more than enough. Well, the vice president doesn't know anything about it. I imagine all that Helms knows is reputation. And McCloy told Rusk that he had heard it and first checked it. So I've been thinking hard about alternatives since you asked us all to give you a list yesterday. I have three or four to suggest. One is Lloyd Cutler. He's very strong with Ball and very strong with Connor. And he's done a good job with the drug companies, and he's strong with the Post and the Times. His situation didn't look good to me when they had him under Secretary of Commerce, and the report was not a good one. I don't want to go beyond that, but
I'm not greatly impressed by him either.
Well,
I had a hell of a time with him on the aluminum situation, and maybe it was my fault as much as his, but anyhow, I certainly didn't find him very helpful.
What would you think about Gilpatrick?
As the
boss of Vietnam, a czar.
I think he'd do it very well, Mr. President.
Wouldn't it tear up his law practice?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think he would come down for it. But I think he'd do it very well.
All right. Do you have anybody that's not overly military in this town that might do it? In your shop? Seems to me he's got to be a man that can have the confidence of your people all the way, more than anything else. But he's also got to be one that can work with aid.
Yeah, Nitze could do it all right. I don't think there's any doubt of that. I don't know whether you'd find it pleasant to work with him. He's an abrasive character.
I doubt it. I never have been with him. And he's a... That's so close to Alsop. Did you see Alsop's column this morning?
I did, yeah. I don't think that came from NHTSA, though. I think that came from Sycon.
Yes, I did, too. It looks like it came right out of Westmoreland shop.
Yeah, it does. I don't think that...
Would Westmoreland be doing that?
No, absolutely not. No, definitely not. And I talked so long with Alsop last week. I think I know where that stuff came from. It didn't come from Westmoreland. It came from officers below Westmoreland, and they didn't... They're just naive. I don't think they were putting it out in a way that they thought would lead to slaps at you or slaps at me.
Wonder if we shouldn't send Westmoreland in. I thought this morning I just dictated and said, I just wanted you to see what they're saying back here.
Yeah, well, send them that, and then you're going to have to follow up with others. I'm afraid we've got three or four bad columns coming.
He said he's going to write four.
Yeah, well, that's what he told me, too, on Saturday when I last talked to him. And as I told you, I just think I wasted my breath. I don't think I changed a damn bit. But I don't think that NHTSA is close to Alsop now. I think he was. They had a real blow-up about a year ago, as I remember, and I don't think they've been close since. The main difficulty with NHTSA would be that he is abrasive. He might be difficult for you, and he'd be difficult for some others. On the other hand, his abrasiveness would be what would help him fight through this non-military program, and I think he'd do it. I think he might be interested in it.
I don't think an abrasive man, though, is one to get along with three difficult agencies, or the Secretary of State and Secretary of Defense. You all get along too well to have people down below. I think we ought to have someone of the Mac Naughton type.
Yeah.
But all of you all are stronger for him. I don't see what you all know, but he doesn't seem to me to be a driver, but he evidently is.
He is.
He doesn't leave that impression, does he?
He is a driver, Mr. Preston. He is. Well, he's been a lawyer. You know, a lawyer doesn't openly drive, but many lawyers will drive for their clients in private, and that's what he does. He does it damn effectively. I wouldn't have any hesitancy at all in recommending him for the Vietnam Post. Losing you is a hell of a problem. Max all wrong, you know, on my feeling on this loss business, though. I obviously feel your needs are far more important than mine. I felt that way in Califano, and contrary to what Mac implied, I urged Joe to take that job. And on this one, I honestly believe that his present post is at least as important as that Vietnam post. But anyhow, I would strongly recommend him as qualified for the Vietnam job.
What did you think about the two, three things before you leave? One is the War Just article, the leak from Saigon. I thought it was left something to be desired because it tied it to civilians alone.
Yeah, I didn't understand. I thought that came from Lodge. That was my...
Yeah, it did. It comes from Lodge, and it's in response to your suggestion, but he got it screwed up.
Oh,
he didn't go back.
The thing that appealed
to us was the military thing. What the military was saying and what the boys were saying, and he just got is what Lodge is saying.
It was so different from what I thought would come out of the table. Yeah. I didn't even recognize.
There was two things that I thought that one, it was Lodge had to get in that he disapproved of the peace offense.
It didn't come through at all the way I thought it would.
And the second was that civilians were dissatisfied.
Yeah.
Nobody gives a damn about civilians out there.
Exactly, or here for that matter.
So those two things are bad now.
And I thought the Neil Sheehan article was very bad this morning.
I didn't see it. What's it?
Well, it said that there's a lot of unrest among the experts and lower levels in the pacification program, believing that you had extracted promises at Honolulu that couldn't be met, and just a lot of fluff. Tang, the Vietnamese minister, you know, was concerned about the June meeting because he didn't think he could show you any progress. Nobody thought you could turn this place upside down overnight, and therefore false promises and false claims and false hopes have been aroused.
Well, now that may be from Lodge. Was Lodge's attitude.
No, I don't believe so, Mr. President. Lodge was strongly in favor of the Honolulu conference and everything that came out of it.
No, but he's cabled a sense.
I saw his cable. But no, I'm sure this didn't come from Lodge. This is the kind of thing that had come from, from Lansdale or somebody like that. And I'm just positive Sheehan's got strong contacts with Lansdale and that whole crew. This is the kind of thing that's come out.
Now, what do you think about the Moyers-Kennedy debate yesterday?
I didn't see that, you see, and all I know is what I read in the paper this morning where it said Kennedy used Moyers as his source eight times on the program.
was very bad, and I think Moyers just made a mistake by replying. Incidentally, quoted you as saying that we only had 20, that Key had told you only 25% of the...
Who quoted me?
Bobby.
Well, Key did say that, and in executive session I said that, but I never said it to Bobby.
Well, that's what he says. He says that Secretary McNamara says that Key told him that he only controls 25% of the population. And he says with only 25% of the thing, well, you might as well throw in your towel. I mean, that's the input.
Yeah, well, Key. That isn't the way Key used the figure. No. Key used it in relation to control in an election day.
Moyers, he says, says that we can negotiate who's in the government. Moyers says that's not what he said at all. And what he said when they asked him, after you have a treaty, or what happens between the treaty and the election? And Moyers says that is a matter that's discussed at the negotiating table. He doesn't say that he would accede or accept or put communists in the government, even for an interim period, at all. Bobby interprets that as being willing to do that. Therefore, he says Moyers is with him, speaking for the White House, and Rusk and Ball and Bundy on the other side. Now, that's the picture.
I thought the papers came through pretty well this morning, though, Mr. President, with Humphrey's statements, and they're the statements the American people will like. You don't bring into your family an assassin. I don't see how we can lose standing on that.
You can't, but the first thing they're going to murder, Moyers, when he comes in, said, is it true that you and Rusk are different? Is it true you and Ball? Is it true you and Bundy? Is it true that what Kennedy says? Is Kennedy telling the truth, or is that an error? And then we got
to... I thought Latin's reply last night was a little weak. Read again what he said. That doesn't...
Who?
What's the Moyers assistant name? Is it Latin or Layton?
Joe Layton, yeah.
Layton's reply was a little weak last night, and undoubtedly...
Well, what he was trying to do, I imagine, is that what he said was quite different from what the senator said,
yeah.
But he didn't want to quote, he didn't want to call the senator a liar.
Yeah. I don't think...
Bobby, I thought yesterday, was very ill at ease and very confusing to himself and to us. I sort of sat with three or four of my friends just watching it, and we just couldn't quite follow it. We don't know yet whether he really wants to recognize these people and put them in an interim government. We gather that he does. He says that I would be willing to permit them to participate. Now, to me, that is the United States government being acceptable to Viet Cong in A, as government representing the conference, and B, in the government to be formed, interim or otherwise. I would be willing for them to participate. Now, you can interpret it that you would be willing to if they had an election and they did this.
No, I don't think that's a proper interpretation.
But now this is the interpretation not from his prepared statement, but from his two separate television broadcasts. But both times he says, I favor, or I would be willing, each time one or the other, to permit them to participate in the government and in the negotiations. So I think Moyers ought to say he says he would be willing for them to participate. He favors their participating. We do not favor their participating. We do have a basic difference there.
Yeah, and I think he'd say, and the reason that Kennedy favors their participation is apparently he thinks of them as a separate organization, separate apart from Hanoi, whereas we recognize them as a tool of Hanoi and one and the same thing as Hanoi. We certainly don't want Hanoi participating in interim government. I think you're on really firm ground there, and the only way they should ever participate would be if they were cut their ties completely with Hanoi, and that's almost inconceivable.
Well, do you think that Moyers ought to try to interpret his position or just his own?
That's
what Bobby tried to do yesterday, but he kept bringing in. Another thing he said that I couldn't understand, he says this government has never favored elections until just here recently, and said it's, says that some of them in the government favor bringing them in now, and he's evidently talking about a statement Averill made. He wouldn't say, he said a State Department employee, he didn't want to mention Averill's name, and I haven't seen that statement, but I read about it last week where Averill indicated they'd have no trouble being heard.